Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Wrap Up Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me, as always, is Lita. How are you doing, Lita?
I am good. We are punctual as usual on this, and no one can tell us otherwise.
Yes, well, we spent a week in Boston, and we were busy. So we're back to talk about episodes 8 and 9 of Ninja versus Ninja. The first wildcard episode aired last night from when we were recording this, but we are going to talk about both. I assume there's going to be 2 wildcard episodes, both wildcard episodes, at the same time next week. So you can look out for that when that happens. But for now, we are talking about episodes 8 and 9 of Ninja versus Ninja.
Yes, absolutely. And we've got kind of some nonstop ninja action coming up. I feel like the celebrity special and the premiere of the episode are like only a week apart, which overlaps with this. So there's a lot of ninja coming up.
So much ninja.
I know. The premiere is like, it's like June. I don't know. It's like either the very end of May or beginning of June. They announced the premiere date.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Lots of ninja headed your way. But let's get into Ninja versus Ninja. If there weren't enough ninjas, this first episode, episode 8, we've got the course with the pole grasper and the spin cycle. And first up, we're going to have team Phoenix Force versus the think tank.
Do you think that the force in Phoenix Force should be spelled with the PH?
No.
Why not?
Because I would not enjoy that.
But that would make it more alliterative.
It would. And I'm almost always for alliteration. But I don't like force with a PH. You can't make new spellings of words just to create the alliteration.
Yeah, there's going to be grammar nerds being like, it's still alliteration because it's the same sound. But like, you know what I mean? It's like twice the alliteration if it's the same letter.
Yeah. Think tank is the better one in terms of alliteration because it's a TT.
But it's less alliterative because it's not the same sound.
I don't care about the sound when it comes to alliteration. I care about the visual.
That's not what alliteration means, though.
Okay. Are we really going to get into this?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to Google it. Alliteration is the same sound.
The occurrence of the same letter or sound
at the
beginning of adjacent or closely connected words.
Okay, so for once we're both right.
No, for once I'm right because I'm the one that said, no, you can also do it with letters and I prefer the letters.
Okay, well, I feel like think tank, I don't know, it's different sounds. It doesn't roll off the tongue as much. It's still a better name. Like it. Because I'm not judging purely on alliteration. I think think tank is a better name. Makes more sense because they're all nerds.
But it's also the better alliteration.
Okay.
Our first matchup here is Michael Torres from Phoenix Force, and he's going to be going against Matt Wilder from Think Tank. Michael Torres, he's got the baby face. That's what he's new and he's got a baby face.
Yeah, he's young. Wait, when you said that, think tank, what is it called when it's the last sound is the same? Assonance?
I don't know that one.
Or, no. Assonance is when there's the same vowel sound, I think. Consonance is what think tank is, but there's a word for when it's the alliteration at the end of the word.
Same sound at the end of words.
Yeah, there you go.
Alliteration taken to an extreme, the combination of, oh my God, there's so many words here. Every word in a sentence begins with the same consonant. Parallelism of sound between the words of adjacent clauses whose lengths are equal or approximate to one another. The combination of isocolon and assonance. I don't know what any of that meant.
Well, the word assonance came up, so maybe, yeah, wait. Hang on.
It is also called sound symbolism.
Oh,
there
great.
Is no easy answer to this question.
Yeah. No, I was right. Assonance is the vowel or diphthong repetition. So okay. I don't know what it's called when it's at the end of the word. Someone tell us.
I think it's a lot of different things.
Okay, well,
based on my quick Googling.
At any rate, I like the consonants in think tank.
Cool. My Michael Torres, he has a baby face. Matt Wilder is 16 years Michael's senior, they say, and he's worked on face recognition software.
Yeah, that's a hot political topic in some circles.
A political? Oh, no, I don't know.
Because a lot of the times facial recognition technology tends to be very Eurocentric, so they can identify the differences in white faces in the way that they can't with some other ethnicities.
See, I saw a Good Fight episode. I think it was The Good Fight, where
I love how much you love The Good Fight.
It's a good show.
I support Christine Baranski's career.
Where I'm pretty sure there was an episode where like they got in trouble for facial recognition, having trouble with non-white faces.
Yeah.
And they often do that sort of thing where they mimic reality. So that's why I went, oh, but then I remembered it was a TV show and I didn't know if it was real.
No, The Good Fight is nothing if not completely accurate to reality.
That's what I'm finding out.
Yeah.
Torres gets ahead of Matt at the pole grasper, but Matt does manage to catch up at the spin cycle. Then they go right up the warped wall at the same time, but Matt Wilder was not practicing his warped wall finishing climb, and Torres manages to get up faster and takes the win here.
Yeah, and this is the first time Matt has lost in team, right?
I believe so.
Wow. Good for Michael Torres.
There you go. Next up was Cassie Craig versus Leila.
I would probably say Layla.
Layla. It was Layla. That was it. Layla Noon. Cassie is a singer. And Layla is like a hippie. I guess.
Yeah, she looks like a festival girl. I don't know.
Yeah, she talks about like living in like a commune.
She does circus arts.
Wearing flowers in her head and having like parties and stuff at her commune. And
yeah, I appreciate circus artists. I'm not big on people that identify as free spirits. But, you know, that's her choice. Also, Cassie Craig says that she has a song on the charts. I could not find evidence of that. I don't know what charts those are.
She said she had 500,000 streams, I think.
Okay, that's not the same as charting.
No, not necessarily, but
the still. Yodeling Kid got more than 500,000 streams on Spotify on his first day with his new single.
I don't know who that is.
Of course you don't.
About the free spirit thing, I do feel like if somebody labels themselves as a free spirit, it kind of implies that everyone else is not a free spirit.
It's a captive spirit.
It's the same sort of thing when you're like, oh, I'm a free thinker. It's like, oh, well, you're a, you're like.
That's political too right now.
Is it?
God. That's what Kanye calls himself.
Oh, well, there you go. It's just like, you got to be careful with what you label yourself, because I feel like it gives away your hidden judgments and biases.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. It's one of those things that like when a girl goes on The Bachelor and she doesn't have a job, she like her job on the Chiron is like free spirit. It's like a fancy word for being unemployed.
There's lots of fancy words for being unemployed.
Like entrepreneur.
Like podcaster.
Yes.
Cassie, she bounces right off of the TikTok, couldn't get her arms around it, and goes down very quickly, and Layla will take this one. This is going to be a very consistent issue for Cassie throughout the episode.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. We're still not going to see any like great female matchups.
Yeah.
These last couple episodes.
Yeah. Then finally we got Najee Richardson versus Noah Kaufman. Najee is becoming an actor.
Yeah, he has representation now.
Who would have guessed?
I feel like that's a logical step.
I don't usually go like, oh, athlete to actor.
Yeah, but like TV star athlete.
That's true. That's true. He always seems so dedicated to the sport.
Well, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of like stunt people, which like you need representation for that. Well, maybe it's that kind of thing.
Very much wishing all the best for Najee. Maybe he can get into an Avengers movie or something.
Yeah. And then I'll never see it.
It's good. It was good.
Okay. I believe you. I like Spider-Man a lot.
Well, Spider-Man's in it.
He's in it.
Noah says he can't train as much as he used to, so he needs to be smarter.
Yeah, he's got to approach the course intelligently. Good thing that he's part of a think tank.
Yeah.
Although think tanks, I feel like, are not, like, I feel like the people in this group are like scientists, you know, mainly. I don't know what Cassie does. Well, she's a singer. but the other two are scientists. But a think tank, I think of as like political, as like social science.
Well, Cassie was on Phoenix Force, right?
Oh, you can't expect me to remember these things. Oh, Layla is clearly a scientist.
which Layla would be a part of a think tank.
I guess. Would she? I think of think tanks as very much not a free spirit job.
A think tank is a body of experts providing advice and ideas on specific political or economic problems.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So I feel like it's like a social science thing, whereas I feel like Noah and Matt are much more of the hard sciences. So I don't know. This team name is kind of falling apart the more I think about it.
But the alliteration.
But the consonants.
Noah speeds through this course, almost falls on the floating tiles, but this is not going to be particularly close. Najee's going to take this one.
Yeah, this was hard to pick who to root for. I love both of these people.
This always happens. There's too many awesome ninjas. Then we get to the relay. The women are going to go first. Then it's going to be Torres versus Noah and Najee versus Matt to cap it off.
Someone on Twitter told us that it's not a rule that the women have to go first.
Yes, I saw that. And I'm very confused by it because there have definitely been circumstances where it would have made more sense to put the female competitor in a different spot. And not that I don't think that happened with any of these races necessarily, although Cassie definitely had a lot of trouble with TikTok and maybe you don't want to get her on the TikTok. But I'm very confused about those other teams. I don't remember which ones they were, but there were definitely situations where we were like, there's no way you're allowed to not do this because it would have made way more sense to not do it.
That's just how it's done, apparently.
I guess so. So Cassie is going to go out on the TikTok once again, the 5-second penalty is not enough to keep Torres from catching all the way back up and passing Noah on the pole grasper. And then Najee is going to close this one out pretty easily, and Phoenix Force will take the win here.
Yeah, and it's a bummer because they can't even come back for the wild card thing, because the way that they're doing the wild cards is that it's only second place people from their original episode, which is an objectively better way to do it, but it's like, no, but my faves are some of them.
Is it only people that came in second place?
Yeah, that's what they said. It was like in the preview for the wild card episode, they were like, the runners up are going to compete, which is better. That's how they do it in actual sports. It's not just like whoever the league's favorites are, which is how they used to do it on the regular season. It's just like which women are good. In actual sports, they do the next best teams after the ones who qualified.
Makes sense. I like it. But yes, that's it. That's done. Think tank is done. The previous performing teams from previous Team Ninja competitions just have not been doing well.
I think Party Time won, right?
Did they win?
I think they did.
Well, they seem to be the only one.
Are we going to bother to fact check this? I feel like I'm right.
As Lita fact checks herself there, let's move on to Team TNT.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, they did. They did. Well, speaking of previous, good performances in Team Ninja, Team TNT versus Frostbite, TNT previous second place, and then they won the second season. Am I right there?
I will believe you. I can't pull up my notes from Team Ninja Warrior. That show doesn't even exist anymore.
So much Googling happening here on this episode of Ninja versus Ninja.
Yeah, well, we do our research.
Yeah. This is not.
Don't you have notes from the last season of Team Ninja Warrior?
Yeah,
somewhere?
But it would take longer to scroll through the notes than it would.
You can keyword search. For TNT.
No, they came in second 2 times in a row.
Oh, wow. The legend of second place.
Yes. They couldn't beat Josh Levin.
Oh, well, who can? Also, where's he?
I don't know. Not competing.
The Team Frostbite name makes no sense because I know that Nick Hansen is from Alaska, but the other two are from Portland and California, which are not known for their snow.
Yeah, but when you have, like, Nick is a very unique character, so that's a way to have a unique name for the team.
Okay, whatever. I don't agree with that.
Fine. First is Jackson Meyer versus Brett Sims. And Jackson Meyer is not small like the other ninjas, he says. He's a big boy and he eats cheeseburgers and ice cream.
Yeah, he also has 2 undergraduate degrees in biological sciences. Why would you need that?
Yeah, I wrote he's a science, so he does analyze things.
Uh-huh. But why do you need 2 bachelor's degrees?
Why do you need any bachelor's degrees? I don't know.
Well, it's weird to do it twice, unless he means that he double majored, which is a stupid way of saying that.
Maybe he got one and then decided to get another.
But why would you go back to undergrad? Just go to grad school. It's shorter.
Maybe he wanted a different undergrad.
In a different biological science? That's so silly. This is also the Boy Scout Ninja, just so everybody's clear.
Yeah, Lita already hates this guy, so...
I don't like being like, yeah, I don't train very hard and I don't eat well. Like, take your competition seriously, sir.
Well, I just I'm not a fan of, like, why do we have to keep saying, oh, I analyze the course because I'm a science thing and I am analytical on that. Like, as opposed to people that don't analyze that, like, I don't understand this. Like, do we really need to? I mean, I don't get me wrong. I love science. I love that they're trying to tie science in. But, like, who are we kidding? Being a science person is not going to help you on the course.
It's also the exact same thing Noah Kaufman already said.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, they're repeating it over and over.
But we, like, it at least makes sense if you're on one of the science teams, if you're on Think Tank or Lab Rats, because it's like your thing. But this is the, what is it called? The Frostbite, Team Frostbite. You have to be like, I'm going to stay warm on the course because I'm used to being cold.
Exactly.
You have to tie it in.
At least that would fit the theme.
Yeah.
Then we get a nice little package about Brett's history with the show. I feel like they don't often celebrate the people that, you know, came before the NBC people took over. But they did well here with Brett. And they also talked about his hair, which I did notice, how it went from the top of his head to the bottom of his face.
Which is the progression that should happen with all men. Just so everybody knows, just take all the hair in your head and put it on your face.
Do you prefer a bigger beard than hair on top, or is that just, yes, like that you prefer that? You'd prefer a bald person with a beard?
No, not bald. That's not ideal. But I don't like the mountain men looking guys who have big beards and also long hair. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to have a big beard, like, you should have short hair.
But what about long hair, no beard?
No, that's... No.
Is that worse than long hair, big beard?
Yeah, beard is always preferable. Okay. Mustache, the power rankings are mustache, beard, then, like, no facial hair, then goatee. I have learned that I can't do the goatee.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There we go. There's an update for all the listeners.
Yeah, I can't do it.
We will...
Maybe if it's like the devil goatee where it's got like a pointy one at the end.
That's better.
Yeah, that's better.
Well, we will continue to keep you updated on Lita's insane preferences with facial hair.
That's so mean.
You're just telling me you prefer the devil goatee over a regular goatee.
Yeah. Well, what are your power rankings of facial hair?
Whatever looks good to the individual.
Oh,
is my power rankings.
How beautiful. You're such a free spirit.
Sims ends up slipping up on the pole grasper and then tripping up on the floating tiles before finally falling into the water, which means Jackson is going to take this round.
Yeah, they loved this weight difference between Jackson and Brett.
Yes.
They're like, Brett is 300 pounds lighter. How is he ever going to do it?
Yeah. Big differences or similarities. They're all about it.
Yeah. They live for that.
Yes. Next up was Janique Lovett versus Emily Durham. Janique is the one with the backflipping sun.
Yeah, they don't mention that, but that's all you're ever going to remember her for.
Well, no, they showed the backflipping sun.
Oh, they
and
did?
They talked about her having a son and then showed him backflipping. So,
well, she got the Grant McCartney package of like, I'm a local celebrity now.
Yeah, I mostly just paid attention to the backflipping.
Yeah, that's really all you care about.
Yeah. And then Emily Durham is a professional wakeboarder.
Right. That's her thing. And I'm never going to remember this.
She's won all the wakeboarding awards. All of them that you can name.
All, yeah. Why don't you talk us through the major wakeboarding competitions, Taryn? What are they called?
Well, first of all, she's clearly very woke. That took you way too long.
I thought you were going to say that she like said something very progressive. She's just like, I've won all of the wakeboarding competitions, and also capitalism is bad. I'd be like, wow, she's just really woke.
That's basically she got the Being Woke Award for being a wakeboarder. So Lovett ends up getting to the floating tiles first, but trips up. So Durham is able to jump right past her. But then Durham misses her warped wall attempt, and Lovett manages to make it up, which means that Janique is going to take this round.
Yeah. And they mention like, oh, this is a huge upset, like over TNT, because they're like one of the favorites, which I did not remember how well they did in team. So it makes sense now. But like just looking at this lineup, I would not think like these are definitely like chalk picks to win.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is the same Team TNT that it used to be. Season one, it was Travis, Adam Arnold, and Joyce Shabazz.
Who's Adam Arnold?
You don't remember Adam Arnold?
Is he Brian's brother?
I don't know.
See, you don't know. That's reasonable.
I think it might be. Yeah, maybe.
Are you just guessing based on their faces?
No, I'm looking at more Googling. This episode should be called Ninja versus Ninja Google Edition.
Okay, great. That's really clever.
Yeah. He's a guy. I don't know if he's related to him.
How can you be like, you don't remember this guy and then look him up and have nothing to say about him?
I don't know if he's related to the other guy.
Okay, but what's his thing?
That he's a ninja.
Okay, well, that's a terrible thing. How am I supposed to remember someone who doesn't have a thing?
Look, I don't know what you want from me. Anyway. Okay. In season two, it was Brett Sims and Mary Beth Wang.
I've never seen this person in my life.
Well, congratulations. You have. Okay. I don't think Emily Durham was a bad replacement. I think she did well here. Just got edged out by Janique. So, yeah, pretty big upset.
Okay. Well, I just did not remember this history, this team's storied history in this competition.
Well, that is a shame. Travis Rosen then takes on Nick Hansen. And of course, Travis Rosen, oldest competitor to ever complete stage one in Vegas. He is an old person. And look, he's got an even older person that he hiked with.
Oh, yeah, his dad.
Mm-hmm.
That's... Who knew that it was possible to be older than Travis Rosen?
I certainly didn't.
Yeah, that's good for them.
Yeah.
They hiked the Pacific Coast Trail, which is a thing that I always hear about. It's like a thing that like that's like a spirit journey thing. That is like if you want to like go and find yourself, like a lot of people hike the Pacific Coast Trail.
I often tell people that if you have lost yourself, you can probably find that self at the Pacific Coast Trail, because that's where lost things go.
Right. It's like the Room of Requirement in Harry Potter.
Exactly. Nick Hansen has been traveling and is now an ambassador for his culture.
Yeah. He's like an ambassador for the internet in Alaska, which I didn't really understand.
I didn't either, which is why I said culture.
Well, I don't think he's just like a general, like, Alaska Board of Tourism man. Well,
he also talked about his culture, but then he also talked about internet. And I wasn't sure if he was trying to get internet there.
No, or they definitely have internet in Alaska.
Was he trying to say, like, we have internet and it's really important, therefore we should have more of it? If small, you know, towns in the U.S. Have trouble, getting internet, I can see why it might be difficult to get it, out in Alaska. Okay. I've got a theory.
All right.
Maybe he's trying to say it's very important that we get more options for ISPs in Alaska because Comcast is screwing us really hard because that's what they do.
ISP stands for Internet Service Provider?
Yes.
Wow. I'd never heard that before. I just logic that one out.
Yeah. Well, many, many places in the U.S., they only have one option for an ISP.
That's so a monopoly. That's
essentially,
wrong.
Essentially a monopoly. And so I bet that's a problem in Alaska.
Okay. We've cracked it. Yeah. No more Comcast in Alaska.
There you go. Travis pulls way ahead on the pole grasper and continues to keep that lead all the way through the course. But then he misses on the warped wall. He gets his fingers on. He slips back down. He has another shot, but he misses again because he's just out of breath, which lets Nick catch up and take the win and complete the sweep. Team TNT is out.
Very sad. I feel like we've seen a lot more fails on the warped wall than I would expect this across the season.
Yeah. They keep talking about the ageless wonder. Is Travis's age finally catching up to him? Is that why he missed?
I don't know. It might just also be like in competition, in regular season, you get to like catch your breath and think about the warped wall.
Well,
for
that's
a while.
What I'm saying. Maybe he just needed a second to catch his breath, but Nick didn't.
Yeah, you're right. He should retire.
You sound like an internet commenter.
He's clearly lost the spark.
Wait,
it's just embarrassing.
What? Taryn said something remotely negative. Oh, Taryn must be saying he hates this person and they're the worst.
Taryn actually said before the show that we should go to Travis Rosen's house and break his knees.
I mean, seems like the logical choice to me.
Just to force him to stop keeping up this pathetic charade. Just kidding. We love you, Travis.
Travis is one of my favorites. Team TNT is out. No more. Frostbite will be moving on and they will be facing Phoenix Force in the final matchup of the episode. And first up, we're going to get Jackson Meyer versus Michael Torres. How do you feel about this? Who are you rooting for?
Well, we know I'm a huge Michael Torres stan.
Yeah.
So obviously him.
That's what I figured.
It's important for me to maintain this one enemy that I've had since the first season we started doing this. Jackson Meyer.
I feel like you have many enemies.
But Jackson Meyer is the only one that I remember every year. I'm like, oh yeah, I hate this guy. And it all goes back to his first package being that he ate a squirrel.
Yeah. It was roadkill, right?
I don't know. It was a squirrel. I love squirrels. They're one of my favorite animals.
Something to do with roadkill.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, I like found this roadkill and then cooked it and ate it, which like he still doesn't eat well. So that has been a thread.
Yeah. So Meyer misses the first TikTok jump, but he never catches up again. Michael gets up the warped wall before Jackson even gets to the spin cycle, and Torres just finishes it out, takes this down.
Yeah, Michael Torres is super impressive.
Yeah, he's
especially
got a baby
given
face.
That he's like 9 years old. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, if you the babier your face is, the better you're going to do on Ninja versus Ninja.
Okay, I will write that down for future coverage.
Yeah. Next up, we had Janique versus Cassie, and Cassie finally makes it past the TikTok. It's going to be the one and only time she does so. But Janique was very far ahead on the spin cycle, and then Cassie ends up falling on the spin cycle. Just doesn't have the reach for it.
I just want to see a woman get to the back half of the course. I just want to see both of them make it up the warped walls that we can at least see a woman on the salmon ladder this season.
It's not going to happen for, I think, 4 episodes at least. God. And if it hasn't happened in the past 2, then maybe 6.
Jeez. Well, the problem is that there are obviously women who can do it. Like this time, Janique got up the warped wall and would be able to do it. The problem is that both of them have to do it.
Right.
So yep. When we finally get like Megan versus Michelle or whatever, whoever goes up in the finals, we'll see it.
We'll see it. All right. So then we have Nick versus Naji, and Nick is going to pull ahead on the pole grasper. And this is somewhat neck and neck the whole way through. They both get to the zigzag at the same time, but Naji just blasts up that thing before Nick even starts the zigzag. They were there at the same time. Nick is catching his breath and Naji is just like, I'm going to go for this. Naji hits the buzzer before Nick even starts the zigzag. He gets up it so fast.
Yeah. Well, this is why they say he can fly.
Yes. We've talked about how this new format of Ninja versus Ninja has made it so that like you can't really be carried by one person. But I do kind of feel like if there was ever a team that was carried by one person, it was Phoenix Force here, because Naji is just so good. And, you know, no disrespect meant to Cassie, but she was definitely, dragging the team down a lot with your various falls. So we then get to the relay here, and the women are going to go first, and then it's going to be Torres versus Nick, and then Naji versus Jackson to finish it off. And Cassie will in fact fall again on the TikTok.
Yep, she did it once.
Yes,
we know she's capable of it.
Yes, but not this time. So this is actually another situation though where like I feel like the 5 seconds was less costly than it would have been if they had just let Cassie play it out. Right. But they get a big lead. Nick has a huge lead because of the penalty. They keep that lead for a while. Jackson is on the back half of the course. Naji is catching up, and he is about to catch up. While Jackson is on the zigzag, Naji is blasting through it as he did before. Naji is about to win this for the Phoenix Force when he slips and falls out of nowhere. They showed the replay and it looked like he was going so fast that on one of the like right at the bottom of the first zig, I guess, his right foot just didn't make contact with the wall. It went under the wall, and that was enough to slip him up. So it wasn't like he lost strength or anything. It was just he was going so fast that he had a little slip, which allows Jackson to finish it up and take the win for Frostbite.
Yeah, and now Naji looks a little hurt.
Yes, Naji is not looking great. He looks very tired. He's maybe like limping a little bit. So you got to be a little worried. Like this is the guy that's carrying the team. Is he hurt? Is he going to be able to do this? Of course he is. It's Naji Richardson.
Yeah, obviously.
So we head to the next relay, different lineup this time. Women's still first, but this time Jackson is going to take on Torres and Nick is going to go up against Naji in the last leg of the relay. Cassie makes another dramatic fall this time on the TikTok, which... again, allows Jackson to have a lead over Torres. Torres does manage to make up a little bit of time, but Naji is the one that really starts to pull ahead at the rumbling dice. And then Nick, I think, does have a slight edge heading into the zigzag, but Naji just kills it on that again. Right up the zigzag, hits the buzzer and collapses in pain as he grabs his legs. Even in pain, Naji manages to take this down for Phoenix Force.
Yeah, he deserved this. Just despite Cassie, like I wanted this team to win so bad. And Nick is such a good sport, and he's like massaging Naji's cramping legs on
yes.
the top of the buzzer.
Yes. Great moments of Ninja versus Ninja. So,
We love sportsmanship.
Yes. Phoenix Force is going to be heading into the playoffs.
Phoenix Force with an F.
Yes. So let's move on to episode 9 of Ninja versus Ninja, where we have the tilting ladders and the flying monkey bars. And the flying monkey bars are going to prove to be the bane of basically every athlete on this episode.
I mean, we've had these before, right? Earlier in the season. What is happening?
I tried to theorize about this. I think that the technique they were using might have been different than the technique that is usually used on these monkey bars. I'm not sure why, but they had a lot of trouble with it.
Yeah, maybe just for like speed, there's like a different way to do it. I have no idea. Or just like after the first couple of people, it just like really got in their heads.
Very possible. But first up, we had the superhero squad versus the Wisco Warriors. And
you now know what Wisco stands for or is short for after our college madness when you didn't know.
That's funny because I was like, what is Wisco stand for? And then they were like, it's Wisconsin. And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I know that you're a huge fan of the Big Ten. So you must have just forgotten that we shorten it to Wisco.
The Big Ten. I call myself one of the Big Five podcasters.
Oh no, I don't want you to list who the other ones are because then I'll be bummed out.
It's literally just a random number I came up with.
Thought you were gonna go through the RHAP people.
I just think it's kind of self-aggrandizing to be like, oh yeah, we're a Big Ten school.
Well, also the Big Ten doesn't make any sense anymore because there's 12 teams in it now. There might be 14 teams in it now because Rutgers and Maryland. Anyway, it's not even accurate anymore.
Well, there you go. So Superhero Squad is going to take on the Wisco Warriors. First up is Jamie Ron versus Drew Knopp. And Jamie Ron got married.
Yeah, and I'm immediately crying.
I'm so happy for him.
Any wedding footage, like even people talking about weddings, like I'm in tears immediately. It's bad. It's a problem.
Are they sad tears or happy tears?
Sad tears. Why?
Because you're so
such
happy
an archaic
for them.
Institution. No, of course they're happy tears. I love weddings and marriage more than anything in the world.
Okay. Well, when you joked about them being sad tears, I thought you were serious because like you might be sad that you're not married.
But yeah, that's true. It's a combination. Like, I think it's definitely like yearning is part of it, but it's also like, it's just my favorite thing in the world.
There you go. Drew Knopp, meanwhile, trains in the snow on his home course.
Yeah. And you know, he's tough because he's not wearing a jacket.
Yeah. That's how I prove toughness.
Right. And they call it the frozen tundra of Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's a little dramatic.
Yeah. They are the exact same height and weight, 5'10", 160 pounds.
Thank God I know that. Also, Jamie Ron's new outfit is very slick. The like maroon.
I agree, but I do think the Wisco Warriors probably had the best uniforms of almost any team.
I already forgot what they look like.
They just had like the black and blue with the W's, showing off the alliteration. They just looked very nice, looked very slick.
Yeah, the Superhero Squad, Jamie Ron's outfit was great, but none of their outfits looked the same at all. They weren't even the same color.
They just all had capes.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
At the start of the, I think they took the capes off.
Okay. Well, like one of that, like, Sean is in bright purple, which isn't even close to Jamie's color. I don't know. I feel like it's hard enough for me to keep these teams straight in my mind, like who's on which team. Like you at least have to dress the same.
Yes. Well, they take on this course. They're neck and neck, really neck and neck to the tilting ladders where Drew then pulls ahead. He barely manages to maintain his lead and just barely edges Jamie out at the end to take this win.
Yes. And I'm about to cry again with Rachel Goldstein.
So, yes, next up is Rachel Goldstein versus Sarah Heason. Rachel was a bridesmaid at Jamie's wedding and was one of the four from Philadelphia a couple years ago. I was there and she was one of the Fantastic Four. Is that what they called them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who managed to qualify for Vegas.
Yeah. You can't show me like a female empowerment clip and then also a wedding clip in the same in the same package. It's too much.
Well, there you go. Sarah Heason, meanwhile, is not from Wisconsin, which seems like cheating to me.
Minnesota is so close.
They call her the Beeston Easton, Beeston Heason.
Yeah. And she was the bartender. I remember her. I feel like I remember saying that she was doing the Lord's work.
I don't like Beeston Heason.
Why?
Feel like it needs to be Beeston Heason or Beeston Heaston.
Okay, well, neither of those make any sense.
What do you mean neither of them make any sense?
Well, her last name isn't Heaston, and
well,
Beeston isn't
saying.
A
you
thing.
You can't use Beeston if your name isn't Heaston.
Okay, well, I'm saying your alternative doesn't make any sense, so they can't use that. So they have to come up with a totally different thing?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying this doesn't work. I'm saying you need to either be really all about bees or have a different last name.
But then it would be Beeson. No one says bees.
It's fine to say bees. Maybe
save the bees. No one would know what you're talking about.
Maybe if you're really into bison, you could say bees.
Do you think the plural of bison is bees?
At least there's some connective tissue there, right? Because you could be like, it's just like geese.
Geese. That would be what you would have to be really into. Sarah Geeson. Or if she, like, apartment rentals, if she was like a realtor, she could be Leeson.
See, we're already coming up with all these better names.
So much better.
Yeah. And, you know, more original than Beeston. Everyone's like, oh, beast mode me, beast mode that, beast.
But Beeston Heason is a slant rhyme.
Yeah,
I think it's technically a rhyme.
It's just not. It's not good enough for me. I'm not into it.
Okay, I'll tell Matt Nachbar to do better.
Okay, good. Rachel's grip keeps failing her on the ladders. We're going to see this happen a lot on the tilting ladders, where they go to transition to the next ladder, but the pull down is too far, and so then the grip isn't strong enough, and they end up having to go back again and try multiple times. So that's what's happening to Rachel here on the tilting ladders. And then Sarah slips up on the floating tiles and gets wet, and then slips up again on the monkey bars and goes into the water, which leaves Rachel there. All she needs to do is finish the monkey bars, and she will take down the round, but she is not able to. She also falls on the monkey bars, and because Sarah got there first, Sarah will take this heat, and the superhero squad is going to be down 0-2.
Yeah, well, Rachel's completely exhausted from not being able to figure out the ladders.
Yes. Then we get Sean Darling Hammond versus Andrew Philibeck. Sean is getting a PhD. And he made it to stage 2 in Vegas. And I love this guy. He's so positive.
I don't think I had any idea that he has a degree from Harvard and is getting his PhD at Berkeley. That's crazy.
It's Sean Darling Hammond.
I know, but I don't think I knew that. I don't
He's
know.
All
whatever.
About love.
And apparently being a genius.
Well, look, just because you're getting PhDs doesn't mean you're a genius necessarily, but it just means that you're smart and dedicated.
Okay. Those are two amazing schools. I'm just giving him perhaps some hyperbolic credit, but I'm giving him credit all the same.
Yes. Well, I like Sean a lot. And then we got Andrew Philibeck, who was undefeated in the college ninja team ninja.
College team ninja team ninja.
I don't remember what it was called. The college
it was
madness.
Called college madness.
Yeah. He was on the winning team.
Yeah, with our friend Zach.
Yes, exactly. No mention of Zach Kemmerer though. Where is Zach Kemmerer?
I don't know. I've been like checking his Facebook obsessively to see if he made it onto the current season. I think that he will know next week or something for the Minneapolis or wherever he's going.
Well, there you go. So Hammond makes a strange transition on the ladders. It looks like he's about to do a dismount from the first one, but instead he jumps to like the middle of the second one. And we're going to see like weird transitions like this on the tilting ladders happen after Sean does this. But he's still behind Andrew after Andrew finishes the ladders first. They end up passing each other on the monkey bars, like back and forth. Like Hammond passes Andrew, and then Andrew passes Sean again. And then Hammond just misses the wall, and that's it for the superhero squad. Andrew's going to take this down and complete the sweep.
I feel like this is one of the bigger upsets we've seen the entire season.
I agree. Although when I saw Drew Knapp I wasn't sure how Andrew would do against the tougher competition of the regular Ninja Warriors, but Drew Knapp is a tough competitor, and knowing that Jamie had to go against Drew, and then when Jamie lost to Drew, I was like, uh-oh, this is not looking great.
Wow, that's some shade against Team MIT that they're less tough competition.
Well, they are certainly great competition as well. This regular Ninja Warrior is an all around competition, not just one other team.
All right. Sure.
So there we go. Unfortunately, we're going to say goodbye to the superhero squad. Next up is going to be the Tryhards versus Hazard Brigade. And when I saw the lineup for the Tryhards, I was like, wow. These guys are going to be unstoppable. Sean Bryan and Adam Rail. That's insane. Those are two of the best competitors in the entire roster of ninjas.
Yeah, but I don't understand their team name.
I don't either.
It's got nothing to do with anything. There are three of them, and they're trying hard.
Some kind of religious thing, maybe. They had like a very weird symbol on their shirts, and they would constantly be doing the triangle symbol. Like,
are you asking? I don't know anything about Catholicism.
I mean, like, I'm not saying they're Illuminati or anything, but like, I feel like there's some sort of symbolism happening.
It sounds like you're saying they're Illuminati. Which
some kind of non-Illuminati, but also Christian based triangle, symbolism.
Mm-hmm. A Christian based triangle. I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, I don't either.
Okay. Well, I am just saying, I feel like this team name, cause there are three of them, it could just be used for literally any team. But I don't know, if you're Catholic, please tell us if there's some sort of symbolism in this.
They had a very complicated triangular symbol on their shirts. So that's what leads me to believe there's some kind of deeper meaning.
Or maybe it's concrete related.
Yeah, that sounds right.
For Adam.
First up, we had Mike Bernardo against Sean Bryan, and Mike, he talks about how he throws himself over and forward and all over the place on these obstacles to keep up with these damn kids.
Yeah, these kids today, which I guess he has to, because the Hazard Brigade is named that because they run dangerously.
Yes, and my also friend. The firefighter thing. But also,
no, they said it's not the firefighter thing.
It's not just the firefighter thing.
I thought they were like, but that's not why we're called that. I'm like, I feel like it's part of it.
Sean, meanwhile, has been doing talks on religion and Christianity and
triangles.
And triangles, yeah.
We just haven't attended any of those talks,
yeah.
So we don't know what the content is.
I mean, I think we know your new assignment.
Go to one of Sean Bryan's triangle talks.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be in my town anytime soon. Well, he lives kind of far away.
Sometimes you got to go places.
Okay. I think he lives in California, right?
I don't know. They are neck and neck on the ladders. Like they finish the tilting ladders at like basically the exact same time. And then they also finish the floating tiles at the exact same time, because one of them slips up and the other one tries to go ahead of them. And then that person falls and they both end up starting the monkey bars at the same time. But Sean ends up missing on the monkey bars because Mike pulls ahead a little bit. He's a little bit faster on the monkey bar. So in order to make up time, what Sean wants to do is take one bar and hop it to the next one, without, you know, doing the one-armed switches, we're going to see many of the ninjas attempt this, and every single one of them is going to fail. I don't know why they kept trying. This obstacle is not meant to be completed that way, I don't think. The sides on the little trays are very high, so they're not really, you know, designed to be hopped over, I don't think. So Sean is going to attempt that. He's going to fail, and he's going to fall into the water, which allows Mike Bernardo to take this win.
Yeah, also Sean said something about how a ninja means someone sent to help on a particular mission. Weren't we just arguing about ninjas, about like the word?
I don't know, what was the argument?
I don't remember, that's why I was asking you. I feel like we had an argument about the word ninja, or like what a ninja is or something.
Like ninja warrior, I don't remember.
Oh yeah, ninjas versus warriors. Yeah. That's what it was. Okay, well, does it help either of our cases that a ninja means someone to help on a mission, which I didn't know?
I'm going to assume it helps my argument.
Okay, well, no, I think I was pro ninja and you were pro warrior. In American Ninja Warrior, ninjas versus warriors.
I feel like I was saying that warrior implies more. I don't remember. I really don't remember.
Okay.
So next, we get the women who are montaged. And I know that's your favorite thing.
It's my favorite thing because everyone went out on the monkey bars here. We could have montaged any of these runs and it would have been exactly the same. Yeah. But we're going to do it to the women. I understand it when it's like clearly like the shortest, worst run or whatever, but like Sean Bryan just did the exact same thing.
It's true. Grace Sims against Rebecca Bonilla. Considering how many times we see Rebecca run the course, it is strange that we don't get a package from her.
It's silly because if you get montage on your first run, then you don't get a package the whole night. And it's always the women.
There you go. So Rebecca ends up going down on the monkey bars, but she manages to get further than Grace does. So Rebecca's going to take that round.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Adam Rail versus Mike Needham. Adam Rail is
Nita. Mike Nita, N-E-D-A.
Nita?
Yeah. It's spelled like Netta, but it's pronounced Nita.
Oh, well, there you go. Must have misspelled
it. I don't know
where you got an M. Well, it's Nita. Mike Nita. Are you sure?
I feel pretty sure.
Nope, it's Mike Needham.
It is?
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
But I remember thinking, oh, it's like Netta.
Nope.
Okay, well. Great. Whatever.
Mike Needham is a golf course landscaper from Flemington, New Jersey.
How do you know it's the same one?
Because I saw a picture of him.
Oh, well, I don't know what anyone looks like, so that's not helpful.
Also, like, when I went to Google him, it was like, do you mean Mike Needham?
Oh, well, all right. I believe you.
Just Lita being wrong again.
I'm going to look him up on Instagram just to make sure.
Well,
keep talking.
Adam is a concrete worker and he does well on American Ninja Warrior, while Mike Needham is an adrenaline junkie.
Our favorite thing.
Yeah. He's a junkie on adrenaline.
Yeah. Other than free spirit, I would say adrenaline junkie is my favorite kind of person.
I will say at the very least, the words used in adrenaline junkie are somewhat self-deprecating, even though they mean it as a humble brag. It's not even a humble brag. It's just a straight up brag if you say you're an adrenaline junkie. But at least the words themselves, the vocabulary, isn't implying that they're looking down on other people.
Okay, I guess so. But it's also, I think, more stigmatizing because the word junkie is not something that we use anymore.
It's true. So, it's kind of an outdated term.
Right, exactly. So kind of a wash, I think.
There you go. They both take on these ladders, the tilting ladders, very crazily. They're jumping all over the place, doing early dismounts and jumping from one to the other. Very, very good to watch. Adam is going to slip up on the floating tiles, and he's also going to go for that fast hop on the monkey bars, and he's going to fall, he's going to fail, and Mike is going to take this one. And wow, we're looking at the tryhards, who I was like, these guys are unstoppable. They are looking not great here. They're down 2-1 or 1-2.
Yeah, and especially it's like right after they say that it's Adam Rail is going to be like the next major superstar on American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, he wins like every National Ninja League thing, or at least something along those lines. But they keep slipping up on these monkey bars. So we head to the relay, and the women are going to go first. Then it's going to be Mike Needham versus Sean, and then Mike Bernardo versus Adam.
Too many mics.
There's a lot of mics on the Hazard Brigade. So Rebecca is going to give the tryhards a lead, but then Bernardo tries to do the hops on the monkey bars, and he's also going to fail trying to do that. And this is when I'm like, why is everybody doing this?
I don't know. They saw other people do it and said, that looks like a great idea.
The guy that made it to stage three tried that and failed. That seems like a good idea. Oh, now Adam Rail, also a very good athlete, tried that and failed. Definitely going to try it now, even though I've done it other ways and have succeeded in those ways.
But then it makes them look even more impressive if they do succeed. They're like, I'm better than Sean Bryan.
I guess so. You know what else makes you look better than Sean Bryan?
Finishing the obstacle?
Beating Sean Bryan. So then they head into the second relay. It's all coming down to this. Rebecca's going to give the tryhards the lead once again. And Bernardo, now this is just completely in his head. He immediately falls on the monkey bars, and the tryhards are going to take the win. They are not out of this competition.
Yep, 2-2.
They came back. So next up, we're going to get the final matchup here. The Tryhards versus the Wisco Warriors. And first up, we're going to get Sean versus Drew. Sean makes a crazy dismount on the ladders and takes just like he immediately does the dismount. Like usually people are like swinging and building momentum for a couple of swings and then they go off. Sean just like, boom, he's right off the ladders, takes a good lead here. But then he slips up on the monkey bars again, and this time just on the dismount. And there you go, Sean out. Drew is going to take this win.
Now the production is just putting Vaseline on the monkey bars.
Yeah, and they point out the Wisco Warriors are undefeated thus far.
Wow.
It's not going to last, though.
Yeah, well, as soon as they point it out, you're like, okay.
Literally, like every time they point this out, yeah. It's immediately taken away. So then we've got Rebecca versus Sarah Heeson, and Rebecca is going to pull way ahead on the ladders. And meanwhile, Sarah is slipping up on the floating tiles. Rebecca ends up going down on the monkey bars, and Sarah is looking really rough from her fall on the floating tiles. She ends up also going down at the monkey bars. She can't get past it. So because Rebecca got there first, she's going to take the win.
Akbar says that Sarah takes a hellacious blow to the chest.
Yeah.
On the floating tiles.
Hellacious. Finally, we're going to get Andrew versus Adam. And Adam is also going to take a big lead on the ladders and then also falls on the monkey bars. So then Andrew catches up, takes on the monkey bars. Here you go, Andrew, this is your time to take the win here. But then Andrew also falls on the monkey bars and Andrew takes the round. There is not a single person that made it to the back half of the course on their own.
I know, we don't get to see it until the very last relay.
It's insanity. And I think, if I'm remembering correctly, I did not go back and watch, but I think that the way that they're doing the technique that they're using on the monkey bars, they're going like one arm at a time. They're starting here and then they're bringing their, you know, right or left arm, whichever is, you know, facing that direction. And then they're bringing their left arm to match the right arm and the right arm out, left arm to match. And, I saw that what a lot of them were doing was like they were grabbing the pole, like the bar that they brought across with one arm. They were grabbing that first and then aligning the bar into the little slot, which seems much more difficult. But I guess I don't know why they were doing that. A lot of them were doing that. But something must have been off about the technique. I feel like I remember other athletes doing this obstacle arm over arm and just like locking the bars into place instead of trying to grab the hand that's holding the other one while holding a different one. I don't remember there being like there constantly being two bars in the same slot. So maybe that's what happened here. I don't know.
We will have to ask someone who competed on this episode the next time we talk to any of these people, because they've had it. It's not just like we've seen this obstacle in the regular season. We must have seen this on an episode of Ninja versus Ninja. They recycle all the obstacles. Yeah. So like, and I do not remember this being a problem.
Theoretically, maybe this was, they aired this out of order, and this was like the first time anybody had run this course. Not that they haven't done this particular obstacle before, but like, I feel like otherwise people would have been like, oh no, this is how you do it. We've done this a billion times. But maybe they didn't want this to be the first episode they aired because, they didn't want to see so many people falling on the same obstacle. So they decided to air it later, something like that. Who knows? There are lots of theories that we can throw out there. But ultimately, it may just be like, oh, no, actually, like it had just rained, or, you know, there are all kinds of things that can lead to this sort of thing happening. But we end up going to the final relay here. And by final relay, that is in fact going to spoil the outcome. Not that you need to remain unspoiled, listeners.
It would be really weird if you were listening to this podcast being like, damn it, I was just about to watch the episode.
or just like, listen, like this is Big Brother, and they're like, oh no, I don't watch the episode, just listen to the podcast. Like,
yeah, we'll put a spoiler buffer.
Very, very thrilling recaps, like explaining what happened in a very visual show. So the women are going to go first yet again. Then it's going to be Sean versus Drew, and then Adam versus Andrew. Drew and Andrew, Adam. All right. So Rebecca takes the lead once again for the tryhards. And then Rebecca's on the tryhards, right? This is what happens when you don't have the package for her. Yes, she's on the tryhards. She takes the lead for the tryhards on the ladders. And then Drew does manage to make up some time. And then Andrew is also going to start to make up some time. He's facing off against Adam at the zigzag. He's catching up on the zigzag, but it's just not quite enough. So the tryhards are going to take this one and move on to the playoffs.
Yeah, we almost had a couple major upsets in a row with these episodes, but I think the tryhards were definitely the odds on favorites.
Yeah, they really just did not perform as well as I expected them to. So when I saw the makeup of this team, I was like, they are super solid. And Rebecca was very good throughout most of the episode. But for whatever reason, these individual athletes that are very good, they just the team format just doesn't seem to fit them quite as well.
Well, hopefully there's no monkey bars in the finals.
Yeah, I better hope so. So that's all we've got for you with these two episodes. We will be back next week to talk about the two wild card episodes and talk about the weird formatting that they've got going on there. And then previewing the finals, which will be very, very fun. We'll very much looking forward to finishing off this Ninja versus Ninja season. It's been a fun ride.
Yeah, it's very easy to watch, as we've talked about, and easy and fun to talk about. There's so much less pressure. I feel like with American Ninja Warrior, in addition to 2-hour episodes and like the super heavy packages, you also have like watching people's dreams be crushed before their eyes, which there is not much of on Ninja versus Ninja.
Yeah, and I cannot repeat enough just how much I enjoy the shortened packages. Just like a quick reminder of like who this person is, what they're up to, and then boom, right into the action. And then especially because we get repeats of the same person, like my favorite part of these episodes is the final round, because we don't need to get into these people again. We've already been introduced to them. So now it's just like, all right, you know these people already, here we go. Just nonstop action. The package is just like, it really reminded me of how much I don't like constant packages on the show.
Rude. I like the sappy American Ninja Warrior packages.
I every once in a while, sure. I just, you know, I feel like they could trim them down. So that's what we've got for you for today. Who knows when this will be released. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Did we get an update on our previous debate?
What debate?
Soda versus pop.
Oh, yeah, I'm right. It's so crazy. Every single person was like, yeah, that's weird that Tyrion thinks that Soda is objectively the better one.
I don't know.
Again, I would like to remind everyone that this started because I say both and was saying that it doesn't matter and I wish people would stop arguing about it. And then it turned into a big debate. So my argument is not even Pop is better. My argument is it doesn't matter. Stop saying that Soda is better.
I don't remember what my argument was.
Your argument is that Soda makes more sense.
I'm pretty sure my argument was this is going to annoy Lena.
That's always your argument.
When you said, like, the whole point was that I was, I hate that we get into these arguments. I was like, that's clearly why we got into this argument.
Because you know how much I love to fight with you. It's my favorite thing.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. Make sure you continue to follow the coverage. You can subscribe to this podcast, leave a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Lita is at Lita Tweeted. You can also follow me on Twitch. I've been doing some Twitch streaming.
I thought you were going to say Instagram.
No, not on Instagram. I skipped Instagram and went straight to Twitch because that's definitely the progression. I've been playing some God of War, that's a very fun game. I also we streamed us watching the Big Brother Canada triple eviction. That was a lot of fun. We had a lot of people tune in for that while we'd like discussed stuff as the episode went on. I'm sure we'll do some, you know, some Secret Hitler games on there and some other fun stuff. So check me out on Twitch, Taren Armstrong, and of course check Lita out on Instagram. She does not Twitch at Lita.
Not that you know of.
No, not that I know of.
I'm big on Twitch streaming, just my brother and I playing Super Smash Brothers for Nintendo 64, which is the only video game I ever play.
There you go. And really, like, the Twitch is like, I'm just playing a video game as a reason to, like, talk to the chat, essentially, for the most part, depending on the time of day that I'm playing, kind of.
You should just do Periscope.
Well,
then.
But it's also like I'm also playing the video game. People are also watching me play the video game. But we talk about like TV shows, and movies and all sorts of fun stuff.
Okay, it sounds like you've made a lot of friends there. You should still get an Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fine. You should also check out the Big Brother live feed updates because they're coming to an end soon.
Yes, we've only got just about a week or so of Big Brother Canada left. And then we'll have a quick little break and then get right into Big Brother 20.
Yeah. Check out my updates and leave nice comments.
Yes.
That's my instructions to you guys, because anybody listening to this podcast actually likes me. So you should all go invade the YouTube comments and say nice things.
Yeah, the comments are never very nice to my guests on the updates.
They are not. They don't like it.
I mean, if they keep that up, then they're just gonna get lots of me by myself, and
I'm sure that's what they want.
I don't know.
That's why they relentlessly bully your guests.
That's gonna be the result. If they bully everyone off the updates, then there's gonna be no one left.
Oh, I'll never leave the updates. I feed off of their outrage that I'm always touching my hair or whatever they're mad about.
Yeah. Why is Lita always touching her hair?
I'm not used to doing video podcasts. I touch my hair constantly. Taren knows I do it when I talk to you when no one's watching. Also, it's not a nervous habit. It's just a thing I do.
But also, who cares if you touch your hair?
Why
does that bother people so much?
They really do. And also, it was podcast house. I was tired. I was not thinking about my actions. I hadn't done my hair for the update, which I normally do.
Yeah, people are weird.
Yeah, so everybody get over it.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us on this American Ninja Warrior Hap Up. Thank you for not complaining about Lita touching her hair audio visually. Trying to come up with how you would touch your hair through sound.
Aurally, I think is the word.
I guess so. It just doesn't sound right. thank you for not complaining and making us feel bad about ourselves. You guys are wonderful. And
you
thank
can you make Taryn feel bad about himself if you want.
See, this is my life.
Says the guy who said you intentionally got into an argument with me just to annoy me.
That's different. That's fun. Also, you're not like a person on the internet that I'm trying to make feel bad.
Oh, well, I am a person on the internet.
That's true. But you're also a person in real life.
As opposed to all the other people on the internet who are not people in real life.
Exactly. I feel like, that's how people see people sometimes.
Oh, big shout out to the person who, came up to me at Know It Alls to compliment the American Ninja Warrior podcast. Yes. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, but that I don't remember anyone's name. It's not you. It's me.
We got a person.
Yeah. So I really thank you for that. That is my favorite thing when people talk about that to me at the live events.
Yeah. The American Ninja Warrior people are great. It's great stuff. But that's all we've got for you. So thank you again for joining us. We'll see you next time.